I want to look at four reasons to be thankful to God. I know that we could all come up with more than four reasons, right, to be thankful to God. But did you ever think about Thanksgiving? Who are you thanking? You know, the unbeliever doesn't believe in God, and he celebrates Thanksgiving, or he says, I'm thankful. Well, who are you thankful to? If you're not thankful to God, who are you thankful to? And really, the whole meaning behind Thanksgiving is that we're giving thanks to God, amen, for all his blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Psalm 95 is a psalm that is a call to worship. The psalmist, and we're not sure who that is calling us to worship. And I believe that our highest achievement as human beings and the most important thing that we can do is to worship God. We were actually created and designed to worship God. And if we're not worshiping God, then we're not doing what we were created for and what our purpose in life really is. And when we are worshiping God with thankful hearts and grateful hearts, it brings wholeness to our own lives. Now, we're going to make clear tonight that we don't worship God for the benefits that he gives. God is worthy to be worshiped. God is worthy to be praised apart from any gifts, any blessings that he gives. Even if you don't get to eat mashed potatoes tomorrow, God is worthy to be praised. As we were singing, I'm sorry, believe it or not, I was thinking about mashed potatoes. And when we get to heaven, the Last Supper, that's going to be the main dish, mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, after I've eaten my Thanksgiving dinner, I'll go back and I'll get just one whole plate of mashed potatoes. And I'll just savor every bite. I love that. But even if God doesn't give you what you think you should get or what you deserve, make sure you understand this. God is worthy to be worshiped and praised apart from his gifts. No matter what God allows in your life, he is a God who is worthy to be worshiped and praised. Let's read the first seven verses once again. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation, or shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, there it is, and make a joyful noise unto him with the psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills are his also. The sea is also his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, verse 8. As in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, and they showed, and saw my works, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Now, I wanted to read that entire psalm, because I'm going to tie that all together. But notice verse 1, oh, come, let us, what? Sing unto the Lord, and make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. So that's what we did tonight. Christianity is a singing religion. And because God has put a song in our hearts, amen? And notice it says that make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I know some people, when they come to church, they don't want to sing because they don't have a good voice. Unless they're on a pew all by themselves and no one's around for a couple feet, you know. If you're sitting next to somebody, you don't want anyone to hear your voice. Don't worry about that. You're singing to the Lord, amen? You're singing to the Lord. He is the audience of one. We're not singing to each other. We're singing to the Lord. And if when you sing, you're just making a noise, that's a blessing to the Lord's heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If you need to bark, you can bark, I guess, or groan, or grunt, or whatever it might be. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, which in the Hebrew actually indicates a shout. It indicates that you shout out, praise the Lord, or thank you, Jesus, or I love you, Lord, or hallelujah. That's a universal word that means praise the Lord. Wherever you go in the world, if you don't know the language, you just look at them and say hallelujah, and they'll know what you're talking about. Praise the Lord. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. It's thanking God for all he has done. And again, make a joyful noise with the Psalms. Now, I said I was going to share four things that we can be thankful to God for. And again, the list could go on and on and on and on and on, but I want to point them out. The first is in verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a king, great king above all gods. Number one, we should give thanks unto God because he is a what? A great God. Did you know you serve a great God? He's a great king over all the earth. Now, the more you know about God, the better you're going to worship God. Let me tell you a few things about this God of the Bible, this God that you're worshiping tonight. He's a God who has existed for all eternity. He is the eternal God. Now, just that is enough to absolutely blow your mind. How do you like that old hippie word? To just kind of blow your sockets out, to think that God always has been. People say, well, where did God come from? God didn't come from anywhere. He's always existed. Well, who made God? No one made God. He's self-existent. He is eternal, and he's sufficient. Now, that is an amazing thought. I sometimes like to just meditate on the thought that in the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1, that God was before all things existed. God is eternal. And that eternal God is also all-powerful. Theologians use the term omnipotent. It's a big fancy word for meaning that he has all power. There's nothing too hard for God, and there's nothing outside of his power or God's ability. Isn't that an awesome thought? That's the God that you're worshiping. Not only is he eternal and self-sufficient and omnipotent, but he is also a God that's omnipresent. And what that means is that God is everywhere present at once. Now, if you eat too much food tomorrow, you're going to feel omnipresent. But God alone is omnipresent. God alone is everywhere present at once. No matter where you go, God is. You cannot run away from God. Now, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful if I take the wings of the morning to the uttermost parts of the earth, God is there. If I make my bed in hell, there's God. Wherever I might go, God is there. You cannot escape God. And God not only is omnipresent, but God is omniscient. You say, well, what does that mean? It means God knows everything. God knows everything. Knows everything about you, knows everything about me. There's nothing that ever catches him off guard. God never goes, wow. God never says, wow, I didn't know that. God knows everything. And matter of fact, God knows what you're going to think before you even think it. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going to be thinking in an hour from now. He's a God that is omniscient. He's a God that is, he's not only omniscient, he's omnibenevolent. That means he's all loving. He's all loving. He's all merciful. He's all kind. Psalmist talks about the loving kindness of God or the tender mercies of God. So he has just overwhelming love. But God, this God that we worship, this great God that we're thankful to, is also a holy God. We must not forget that. That he's wholly separated from sin. He's wholly separated from that which is evil. And that he has a holy hatred for sin and for evil, and that one day he will judge sin and evil. And the reality is we can be thankful for that as well, that there is retribution for wrongdoing, that God will wrong all, right all wrongs, that he will come and he will judge in righteousness. So tonight we worship that God who is a great God. And then the second reason we can give thanks unto God is also there in verse 6, and it says, come bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our what? I love that. He's God our creator. He's the God who created us. Did you know that you're not a self-made person? I know people who believe they're self-made and they worship their creator. They worship themselves. You tonight, we tonight, were created by God. You're not an accident. You're not here because of some evolutionary processes. You were made by God, made in his image and made in his likeness, so that you can know God, a rational being, can choose between good and evil, a moral being, a person that can speak and love and feel, and you can communicate with this personal God. To think that God made us, that we are his creation. Let me give you number three. Not only did he make us, this great God, but he also purchased us. For he is our God, and we are his people, or the people of his pasture. We are God's people. So we thank God that he is our creator. We thank God that he is our redeemer. So we're ours by creation. We're also ours, God belonged to God, by redemption. Did you know that God had to send his only begotten son into the world to die for you on the cross so that he could redeem you? That means to purchase or to buy you. So he's my creator God. He's my redeemer God. And the Bible says that we're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So at great cost, God gave his son to buy you and to purchase your salvation. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus who died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again from the dead, then you become a child of God. And we are his people. And we have a relationship with him. Jesus said when we pray, we can say, Abba, Father. We talk to him as our Father in heaven, and we have that kind of intimacy and that relationship. So he's not just some eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God who created us and then left us alone, but he's a God who loves us and sent his Son for us to die on the cross for us so that we can become his children. You have a Father in heaven. And he cares for you. And he loves you, and he takes care of you. And that's my next point, my last point, number four. Notice that in verse 7. For he is our God, we are his people, we're the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. People of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. What does that mean? That means that the Lord is our shepherd. You ever read Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Raha. The Lord my shepherd. And what's the first thing David says in that psalm? I have everything I need. Isn't that cool? I have everything I need. If I need rest, he makes me to lie down. I like that verse, makes me to lie down. Whenever I take a nap, I quote that to my wife. It's biblical. I'm on my way to take a nap. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm his sheep. He leads me beside still waters. I have restoration. I have rest. I have restoration. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I have righteous paths. And even when I walk through the valley of deepest darkness, I don't need to be afraid. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. No good shepherd would send his sheep through a dark valley and walk behind them or let them go alone, but the shepherd goes before them, making sure there's no predators that will harm them. He doesn't just kick back and go, you guys go ahead of me. There's some mean beast in there. I don't want to deal with them. He goes before us. It's interesting, in the psalm, he talks about the deep places in verse 4. The deep places of the earth and the strength of the hills are his. The deep valleys, many times, the deep, dark valleys that we go through, whenever I think of Thanksgiving, I think of the importance of learning to be thankful even in the low places of life, even in the dark valleys of life, even in the hard times of life. That's what sets a Christian apart from the world. We can give thanks to God even when there's darkness all around. Amen? We know that all things work together for good to those who what? Love God and are called according to his purposes. So we can always have a thankful heart. We may not be thankful for the tragedy or the difficulty, but we can be thankful in the tragedy and the difficulty that God uses it for our good and for his glory. Amen? So in the deep places, they belong to God. In the hills, in the blessings, they belong to God as well. So number one, we thank God that he is a great God. Number two, we thank him because he is our maker. And number three, we thank him because we are his people. He's our redeemer. And number four, we thank him because we are his sheep and he is our shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep. So if you're a Christian tonight, you have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Now, why the warning in verses 8 to 11? It seems like this section of the psalm is almost out of place. He's calling us to worship. Let us sing. Let us come. Let us come and worship and bow down, which, by the way, in the Hebrew means to kiss toward, so we're worshiping God. But then he warns us, harden not your hearts. At the end of verse 7, it begins. He says, and today if you will hear his voice. So we're using our voice to praise God and to worship God, and then we stop and we listen to his voice. So with our lips, we worship him and praise him. With our ears, we listen to him. So let your voice be raised in praise, but let your ears be open to hear his voice. And do not harden your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works. And for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, this is a people that have hardened their hearts. They have not known my ways, whom I swore my wrath, that they will not enter into my rest. What is God doing? He's talking about a historic event with the nation of Israel. About 2 to 3 months after they came out of the Exodus from Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea before they get to Mount Sinai, and they were thirsty, and they wanted water. And they griped, and they complained, and they moaned, we want water, we want water. And Moses spoke to the rock, and water came forth. And there was another time then, again, when they were without water, and they griped, and they complained, and they moaned, and Moses was told to just speak to the rock. First he struck the rock, then to speak to the rock, and the rock would bring forth water. But it's this complaining and this griping when God provided from them. He brought them out of Egypt. He divided the Red Sea. He gave them the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He brought manna for them to eat. I'd like to just go out in the front yard and gather your food every day. It's pretty cool. He provided the quail that came in. He provided the water from the rock. And still they griped and they complained and they whined. You ever been there? We've all been there. And what I want to say is that we need to be careful and guard our hearts not to have an attitude of ungratefulness. It's more serious than you realize. Oh, you know, God doesn't do this and God hasn't done that. Be careful. An attitude of ungratefulness will lead you on a path of destruction. It will harden your heart. It will embitter you. Maybe you're ungrateful for some experience of life. Maybe you're mad at God right now. It's hard for you to enjoy Thanksgiving because of things that have happened to you. And you can't really look through the pain and find the purposes of God and praise God through that. Guard your heart. Don't harden your heart. You're on a very dangerous path when you begin to be hard-hearted and bitter and angry toward God. But when we worship God and we thank God, and we're grateful to God, even when we may not think that we get our deserve, it changes our hearts, it softens our hearts, it draws us closer to God, it makes us more like Christ. Spiritual value and benefit. And what we're really doing is that we're fulfilling our purpose in life. The reason God created us, the reason God made us, and what God wants to do in us. You were made to worship God. You were made to worship God, to enjoy God forever. So don't gripe, don't complain, don't bemoan your lot. Don't look at other people and go, why do they have the nice car? Why do they have the nice wife? Why do they have the nice husband? Why are their kids spaced so perfectly? Why doesn't their dog dig under the fence like mine? Stop and count your blessings. We used to sing, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Amen.